let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey, with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, but let's get today's program started by singing praises to our awesome God.
What is God like? Some people think that God is unfair. Others believe he's mean or stingy, or that he doesn't really care about them. Lots of kids even grow up thinking that God is mad at them. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says God is good. That's right. And because he's good, we know he's kind, patient, forgiving, loving, and much more. I'm so thankful to know what God is like. Aren't you?
Psalm 107, verses 1 and 8. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds.
He is good, he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks, for he is good.
He is good, he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. He is good.
His wonderful deeds. Give thanks to the Lord. He is good, he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks, for he is good.
My home.
Thank you for my goldfish.
Lord, thank you for my church.
Thank you for dying on the cross for us, Jesus.
Lord, thank you that even when things look bad, you're still good.
For his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds, give thanks to
Give thanks.
Singing is such a great way to praise the Lord. We'll do some more singing in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible in Living Sound.
Most high and honorable priest of the great and powerful god Jupiter, I say that Jupiter, the father of gods, has become as a man and is honoring our town with his presence.
Jupiter, the father of gods is here?
True, most high and honorable priest. I just witnessed a miracle by the god Mercury.
Mercury is here too?
Yes, most high and...
As a man?
Yes, most high and honorable priest.
Why did they not let me know they're here? I do represent them.
I do not know why. I know only Mercury did a miracle.
Well, what sort of miracle?
That man who can't walk, always sits. I don't know his name. Anyway, he lives over...
I know who you mean. What about him and the god Mercury?
The great and glorious god of Mercury said to the man, "Stand up and walk." And the man stood up and walked, healed.
They slighted me. They didn't let me know they were coming.
Your most high and honorable priest of the great and powerful god Jupiter...
Now what do you want?
We think the gods Jupiter and Mercury should be given honorable welcome.
They slighted me. I'll slight them.
But what about the people? They saw the miracle. If you do nothing about such a marvelous display of power, the gods will get angry. At you. Also the people.
Honor do the people want me to accord the two gods?
Sacrifices, your most honorable priest.
Have the oxen and garlands brought to the gate, and we shall do the two gods honor, even though they don't deserve it. Can't reach it.
Yes, most high and honorable priest of the god Jupiter.
I'll lead the procession to the place where the two gods are living.
Barnabas, you hear what I hear?
Well, I think so. Mob hysteria and music. I'm going to get out of bed, Paul, and see what's going on.
I'll go with you. For some reason, they seem to have come here for our benefit.
That fellow with the mask, it's hideous. He must be the leader, priest or something.
We better find out. Sir, could you tell me...
Oh, great and wise, venerable father of all gods, Jupiter, we welcome you and the lesser god Mercury to our earth and town.
Oh, he's talking to you, Barnabas.
Well, you talk right back at them, will you, Paul?
Well, let's move out in the center so all can hear.
To the center? Through that mob?
Well, they'll make way for us. They they consider us to be gods, remember?
Oh, all right, let's go.
My friends of Lystra, please, please, please be quiet.
Why are you doing this, men? We are only men, human beings like all of you. We come not from Jupiter or Mercury, but from Jerusalem. We are here to announce the good news of a risen Savior and to turn you away from this malice, hatred, and every evil, worthless thing you are doing. We turn your minds to a living God who made the stars in heaven, the earth, and the sea. The God of creation does only good things. He gives you rain at the right time so your corn will grow. He gives you food and fills your heart with happiness.
We have the ox with garland ready to sacrifice to you.
God sent his son to die on the cross as a sacrifice for all forgiven sin. Never again will any burnt offering or sacrifice need to be made.
My dear people, these two are not gods. They're mere men. Take the ox back and go to your homes. I thought so. Ignoring me, the real gods Jupiter and Mercury would honor, not insult me. Show the men in.
Yes, sir. is most high and honorable priest of the temple dedicated to the god Jupiter.
State your mission.
We are a delegation from Antioch of Pisidia and Iconium, come to see about two men who call themselves preachers.
Paul and Barnabas?
Yes, that's correct.
They pass themselves off here as the gods Jupiter and Mercury.
They must be got rid of.
Yeah, that's easy. We'll just kill them.
Oh, well, you kill them by stoning. Stoning to death is the Israelite penalty for blasphemers, and these two are just that.
Stoning them will be pleasurable.
But your people, will they cooperate?
With a little magic, they will be as angry at these two as they were happy when they thought they were gods. It'll take a little time.
Well, we'll stay around just to see these two stoned.
Many of the people refuse to stone them. I think I have enough people gathered to at least make a stone-throwing event interesting. I'll throw the first stone. Hit him on the back of his neck. Let me throw another one. Missed him that time. All right, stone it. Stop now, he's dead. See that he's taken outside the city and dumped in the general burial ground.
Yes, your most high and honorable priest of Jupiter.
I'll take him to the burial ground.
All right, let him dig. Zuriel, it's you?
Yes, I'll bury him.
But why? Why you?
Me? I believed what he preached. I want to join his church. I'm sorry he's dead.
Continue the Bible story tomorrow, and if you would like to have these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible and Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
Fisherman, and he made a little wish to catch a lot of fish, but instead he ended up with an empty dish. So Jesus said, Peter, try the other side. Jesus said, Peter, try the other side. So he threw his nets into the rolling sea, and he said, look at all the fish that came to me. Said Peter, you come follow me, and instead of catching fish, you'll be catching men, and in my Father's house, your life will never end, your life will never end, your life will never end, your life will never end.
Hello? Testing, testing. Yes, it's working. Dear Diary, this is Kim. My teacher in health class told us to keep a record of what we're doing to stay healthy each day this week. I'm using this voice recorder so I don't have to write everything down, which is a good thing because I can't read my own writing. Dad says I should be a doctor. I'm 12 years old and I'm supposed to tell you what I did today to stay healthy. Well, first of all, I ate breakfast. A lot of kids my age don't eat breakfast. They drink something sweet or wolf down a donut on the way to the bus. That's totally not healthy. In just a few hours, they're so hungry they can't think straight, or they go to sleep at their desks because they don't have any energy. All that sugar makes them feel good for about 30 minutes. Then they get depressed because their bodies don't have any fuel left. That's what our health teacher calls food, fuel. I ate a big bowl of whole grain cereal with some peaches, honey, and soy milk on top. Then I grabbed a handful of mixed nuts and finished with a sliced apple. It was delicious. That breakfast kept me going strong until lunch. I didn't get sleepy or hungry, which is a good thing because we had a history test this morning and I needed at least a B. Mr. Jensen said I got a B+. Whew! So, what did I learn about health today? Eat a good breakfast. It can keep you awake and maybe help your grades.
God has given us everything we need to be healthy inside and out. During Creation Week, He established a health plan for every creature on earth. To learn more about healthy living and about the God who created us all, go to kidsbibleinfo.com. That's kidsbibleinfo.com. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
Ms. Kathy, I'm so happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Do you like visiting museums? Have you ever been in a museum of children's art? What if your museum were showing a collection of paintings of children and one of the pieces was mysteriously missing? That's what happens to Sammy and Ginny in this new Shoebox Kids mystery. Along the way, Sammy learns that helping others is part of what it means to be a Christian. Chapter 3, Is Anyone Home? So what's this about a missing painting? Chris asked Sammy when the group got together that evening. There's this guy named Sheffield Matheson who is a real famous painter, exclaimed Sammy, and he lived right here in Mill Valley. Of course, this was in the olden days, back before computers or video games or color TV or stuff like that. It was in 1964, said Mrs. Wallace. I was 3 years old. Wow, that long ago, Chris said? Anyway, his paintings are worth about a zillion bucks each. Not quite that much, Mrs. Wallace corrected. Okay, not that much, but a lot, said Sammy, and one of them is missing. What makes you think we can find it? Willie asked. When did they lose it? They lost it in a fire in 1964, Sammy smiled and folded his arms over his chest, right here in Mill Valley. Oh, right, Chris said. We'll be able to find this painting when the police and everybody else couldn't. How do we know it wasn't burned up in the fire? Because the police said it wasn't, Sammy said. Even though we're meeting tonight to talk about raising money for the museum, somehow I knew this mystery would come up, Mrs. Wallace said, smiling. I first got interested in art because my father collected everything he could about art history, especially things about local art and artists. She reached for a wide green scrapbook and opened it. Here's a newspaper article that my father clipped several days after the fire. The Shoebox Kids crowded around to look as Mrs. Wallace read from the old yellow paper. Mill Valley police continue to investigate the fire that killed artist Sheffield Matheson and destroyed his studio at 1233 Jackson Street. Preliminary reports have concluded that the fire was most likely the result of arson. Arson? What's that? Asked Dee Dee. That's when someone sets a fire on purpose, Mrs. Wallace said. But who would set fire to Mr. Matheson's studio? Jenny asked. Mrs. Wallace read on, Mill Valley police are looking for Matheson's son, Berkeley, for questioning regarding the fire. Witnesses state that the relationship between father and son had been strained recently, and the two had been seen arguing violently in public on at least two occasions. Uh-oh, Willie murmured. Mrs. Wallace nodded, then read on. When asked if they thought the missing painting, number 11 in the just-completed Children's Dozen set, was taken by the son, police investigators had no comment. It doesn't look good for Berkeley, Chris said. Anyway, that's generally what the article says, Mrs. Wallace said, looking up. If I remember right, Matheson had a daughter as well. She flipped through the scrapbook some more. Yes, here it is, Emily Matheson. She had just been married 2 weeks before the fire, and if I recall correctly, the marriage didn't last very long. I wonder whatever happened to her. Mrs. Wallace looked off in the distance as if she were trying to remember something. I wonder if the house is still there, Willie asked. Oh, it's still there, Mrs. Wallace said cheerfully. It was just the studio behind the house that burned down. Then maybe we should check it out tomorrow, Sammy said. Maybe you should, Mrs. Wallace said, but remember that someone probably lives there, so don't go snooping around without permission. That's trespassing, and it's against the law. Now, she said, snapping the scrapbook shut and standing up, we have snacks in the kitchen. Everybody get a plateful, and then let's sit down and talk about making some money for the museum. Mrs. Wallace, I suggest we raise money by collecting things for recycling, Willie said. You know, aluminum cans, newspaper, scrap metal. Don't forget older sisters, Chris added. Maria glared at Chris. Willie, I think that's a good start, Mrs. Wallace said. Let's make a list and see what other ideas we can come up with. The evening ended about an hour later with the Shoebox kids agreeing to meet at the Wallace's house the next morning. Jackson Street was just a few blocks over from the Wallace's, and Mrs. Wallace agreed to come check on them after they had had a chance to talk to whoever lived there. The next morning, a line of bikes left a long trail through the orange and yellow leaves on the sidewalk. Look, Willie called from out in front, my chair leaves two trails. Are you sure this is the place? Dee Dee asked quietly when they stood in front of 1233 Jackson Street. Sammy nodded, pointing to the mailbox with 1233 painted in fading colors on the side. This place is spooky, Willie said, looking up at the big old house. The place looked like it hadn't been painted in 20 years. Windows were broken in the upstairs rooms, and an iron railing for the stairs leaned over to one side. The grass had grown impossibly high, and bushes and trees around the house looked as if they would swallow it whole. I don't think anyone lives here anymore, Maria said. It looks abandoned. Chris shook his head slowly. No, someone lives here all right. It's Mrs. Sheckley. Remember her, Maria? She's the one who threw a pail of water on those kids who were trick-or-treating around here last Halloween. Maria nodded slowly. This lady is spooky, Chris said. She never talks to anyone on the street, and if you ever hear her say anything, it's because she's mumbling to herself. Chris lowered his head and rumbled under his breath. No one said anything after that for a long while. Finally, Sammy got up his courage. Well, spooky or not, someone should go up to the door and see if she's home. He looked at the others, who in turn looked back at him. It's your mystery, Sammy, Willie said. Sammy looked around him. Jenny, you'll come with me, won't you? He asked. Jenny hesitated, then said, sure, we're in this together. Although it was 10 o'clock on a brisk fall morning, Jenny felt warm. I'm just nervous, she thought, and pulled off her sweater. She followed Sammy up the creaky front stairs while the other shoebox kids watched from the walkway in front of the house. Well, what now? Sammy asked as the two of them paused in front of the door. A big no salesman sign was tacked to the wall. Jenny noticed that the doorbell had been yanked out and only bare wire showed in its place. I guess we knock, she said, shrugging her shoulders. Sammy pulled the screen door open and knocked once quietly. After a few seconds, he tried again, more loudly. No answer. I guess no one is home, Sammy said to the others. Maybe Mrs. Sheckley is out back, Chris said. He peered down the gravel driveway, then bent down to put up the kickstand on his bike. Chris, Mrs. Wallace said not to trespass, Maria said. I'm not going to trespass, Chris said as he walked down the driveway. I'm just going to see if she's in her backyard. Chris disappeared around the corner of the house. After a few seconds, they heard him call. Hey, guys, come look at this. I'm not so sure about this, Jenny said as the others disappeared down the driveway and around the corner of the house. Sammy, she added with a quivering voice, let's stay up here and wait for them to come back. I'm sure they're all right, Sammy said. After all, they just went around the... Sammy was interrupted by a scream from Dee Dee. A second later, Willie, Chris, Dee Dee, and Maria came charging back down the driveway. What was it? Sammy asked. No one answered. Chris, Maria, and Dee Dee jumped on their bikes and started down the street after Willie, who had a head start on them. Realizing they were being left behind, Jenny and Sammy ran to their bikes. What was it? Sammy yelled after them.
The story you have heard today is a chapter of The Shoebox Kids, Book 5, The Broken Dozen Mystery, written by Glenn Robinson, edited and created by Jerry D. Thomas, and used with permission from the Pacific Press Publishing Association. If you're interested in any other books published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.